back here for the final segment of the show. And we had a topic that was brought up at our state of the market. We have a state of the market for our clients once or twice a year.
Sure.
And we had over 200 people here this last time. And one of everybody's concerns was, is what's going to happen to the stock market when interest rates go up?
Right.
Now, you know, I can give you the theoretical. The idea is that the stock market is in competition with the bond market. And if the bond market interest rates go up, the theory is that stock prices, okay, which are in competition, should not go up as much or stay the same order because their dividends have to increase
right.
in order to equalize that. But that's really not the case when you look at the numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. We look back at four previous instances, and something else that works into this too. You know, companies fund their operations quite often with borrowing. So, you know, they'll issue a bond, take the money, and apply it into their operation. So what we look at is their cost of capital. Obviously, it's kind of a finance nerd thing, but it's...
It's the weighted average cost. It costs you so much to have stock.
Right.
Stock's the most expensive because your stockholders expect to earn 10% or 12%
right.
on it, and then it's cheaper when you have bonds because you know that you're locked in at...
Yeah,
3%.
Right. Whatever the percentage is.
So there's some theoretical amount where you want to have a certain amount of bonds and a certain amount of stock. If you have too many bonds, then all of a sudden you're a risky company and people don't want
bankruptcy
a 10 or 11%
risk.
Return on their stocks. They want
sure.
a 20%. So
right.
it's a balance in there that makes no difference, but it kept my graduate students in constant fear of questions I could ask them on exams.
I'm sure it did. but the thing is, they're, you know, obviously, if a company's borrowing for their operations, their investment returns have to be greater in order for them
right.
to you know, when the yields go up, they have to be greater in order to overcome that and have an economic value
right.
added. So anyway, the fear, if you watch CNBC especially, is that interest rates going up is just going to crush the stock market. Well, we went back to the 1980s. There's been four instances where, you know, we found the Fed, what they're calling now the takeoff or blast off, you know, where they go from at this point, it's going to be zero to whatever they stop at. And we looked, and in all four of those instances, when interest rates went higher, the stock market from a period 6 months prior to that takeoff to 6 months after was positive in every instance. Now, it wasn't always beating the long-term average, which is about 10.5%.
Right.
But, you know, it one time it was up 26%. Another, it was up 2.5%. So the one that was most interesting to us was between 2003 and 2004 when interest rates increased 125%. They went from 1% up to 2.25%. And at the same time, the stock market was up about 8.5%. So we know starting from a small number, even if the Fed raises interest rate by 0.25%, which is expected a couple of times before the end of the year, you're going to have...
It shouldn't have an impact.
It shouldn't, but you're going to have a 200% increase in
interest
rates.
I can give you
an
argument that says if the Fed raises rates,
right,
that a huge amount of people in this country are going to be so happy because they're savers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were just talking that the savings bond was paying 0.1%.
Right.
And
a 10-year, 2.1.
2.1.
Yeah.
You picture all of our clients.
Oh,
all of our clients. Because our clients aren't people who are in debt. They're people who have assets. And
right.
Not wealthy people. I'm not trying to make anything out like that. But boy, oh boy, if interest rates went up 1%, how much more money would these people have to spend?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when it went up 2%, how much money would they have
right.
to spend?
Yeah, the thing is, back in the middle 2000, so 2005 and 6, it was real easy for us to go out in the market and find a bond within 10 years that would pay you over 5%.
Absolutely.
And that was our target at the time. It's made us do a lot of adjustments in the way we think about fixed income.
You know, for a lot of our clients that are, you know, they're retired and – you know, maybe they have anywhere from 25% to 40 or 50% of their assets are in fixed income investments. A little bit of boost in the interest rate would help them out dramatically.
I mean, they have enough money to make it because we've structured it that way, and they still have money in the stock market. But boy, oh boy, that, like you said, we have our 10-year rule, and when somebody's 70 years old, they got a lot of money in the, in fixed incomes.
Right.
And if they could get 2% more on $400,000, last time I checked, that's $8,000 more they could spend on something.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they're in the spending stage, believe me.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
We old people want to spend money because we know we're not going to be here forever.
Got to spend it up.
That's it.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, that we talked about there is, you know, Roger Tutterow, our economist, was saying that he believes GDP is going to grow by about 2.7%. You do a little bit of math, and you know that the market generally grows between 8 and 10% per year, with earnings being, you know, it following a similar trend for corporate earnings. So what we believe is this year that given some of the other things that are going on in the market, including the potential for interest rate increases, will probably be around 7.5. And some of the things that we're looking at, obviously, if you looked in the fourth quarter, we started hearing a lot of noise because of the dollar strengthened. Currency is affecting, negatively affecting companies with operations outside the United States. So, you know, you have to consider that that's going to weigh on earnings a bit. And then oil. Oil made up, the energy sector made up
7%.
It was 8.5%.
8.5%.
When it all started. Right now it's about 7.5%. You can tell.
Cures itself.
Well, some of it.
Cures itself.
But what had happened is earnings growth in the energy sector fell by about 19.5% in the fourth quarter. If you do the math, you're about 1.6% out of the growth in the S&P 500 overall just from the energy sector.
Yeah.
And then you back up and you consider, well, these energy companies generally add a lot outside of their sector by their capital expenditures. So you can think real quickly about General Electric, who has a business segment that's called oil and gas. Oil and gas makes up between 10 and 12% of their revenues on a normal year, and about 8 to 10% of their earnings. So you know if the energy companies are not spending their money to grow
right,
and expand.
Right, if they're not digging in the dirt to get more of it.
Yeah, that, it's going to weigh on that segment of the industrials. And if you looked through this whole mess, industrials have been kicked around a little bit too. Their earnings were still positive in the growth.
Well, what's looking good right now, as a matter of fact, we can go back through these numbers and somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And we take, I don't want that one. That's not a good week. If you look at that, the only one was up was energy.
Yeah, but you look year-to-date, energy is down 3.9%.
Yes.
And utilities are down 7.4%.
You got healthcare, consumer discretionary, and telecom.
Right.
So far this year are up. Jennifer, I wanted to ask you, anything in particular bugging your clients? There's something.
I know. I was just
nothing.
Trying to...
They're all happy. I can hear a word. All right.
Well, one thing I bet they're not worried about is cheap gas prices.
Right. No. So, I mean, probably interest rates are probably the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And low. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about interest rates, we know that if they increase, it's going to decrease the value of a bond, the price that the bond
of existing bonds.
Right. But the thing is, the way that we buy bonds for clients, it's really not going to impact them. We plan really more for the cash flow. So the coupon will not change, and the principal that you're paid back at the end of the bond when it matures
is not going to change.
But
here's the important thing. What we've done over the last, 400 years, is shorten the maturities of things that our clients own. So they have a CD that's due in 6 months, a CD due in 12, a CD, who they don't need then, but it's just because we don't want to buy them a 10-year something and have interest rates go up and screw them.
Mm-hmm.
This way, 6 months a day, if interest rates go up, they buy a 6%, they buy a 6-month CD, guess what? It's paying 0.5% more. Mm-hmm. They buy 12 months it matures and so, and you get up the line when all of a sudden interest rates are 5 and 6%, we go buy them the 10-year bond.
Right. Yeah.
And we go buy them the 9-year bond.
Right. When the short stuff starts maturing,
right,
we just roll it into the higher paying.
That's why we've always said is we are shortening maturities.
Right.
There's a tendency for people who want to stretch because I'm only getting this much on my CD. I want a 10-year.
Right.
Because it gives me another 0.5%. You got the numbers there. Yeah. Something else like that. You can't have that. And so there's a method to our madness when we talk about a strategy here. 10-year rule and trying to match maturities and all that happy stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But listen, it's been a pleasure. Again, you can get a hold of us at 770-429-9166 if you have questions. Or if you want to drop off a couple million or $10 million, I just throw it on the porch out there and we'll invest it for you.
Take care of it.
Take care.
Bye.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.